I'll be reading from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down, and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Good evening. I too, like Zacchaeus, am of short stature. I can barely see over this thing. But I too, like Zacchaeus, will not let that hinder me. If you would, turn your Bibles to Luke 19, and we will refer to that several times during my lesson this evening. I'd like to welcome each and everyone out this evening. The lesson this evening, the story of Zacchaeus, doesn't stick out real well, does it? I didn't pick a very good background, I guess. Again, this also is one that we often teach in our children's Bible classes, and the children of the church learn it very early in life. But this story as well is not just for children. There's many things in it that we as adults can learn from it. And so it's a very good story to refer to from time to time. Oops. It's a lot more to this story than just about a short man that climbs into a tree. As I said before, I can relate to Zacchaeus' stature because I also am vertically challenged at time to time. So there are a lot of things that I can relate to here. And there are obstacles that short people must overcome in this life that tall people don't have to deal with. And I'm sure vice versa is true. But the story of Zacchaeus is a story of triumph. And Zacchaeus overcame many hindrances in his life to see Jesus. And I'm hoping that we can learn from these lessons. And many failed to find Jesus for many of the same reasons that Zacchaeus did. So we're going to discuss this evening some of these reasons. To start off with, riches. Zacchaeus was rich, as we just heard in our scripture reading. Now, the problem is not riches. And I will say that riches, as we'll see here in just a minute, that the money itself is not evil. But riches can be a problem. I personally have never had a problem with riches being a burden to me. Without going too far in depth, I always relate a story to my children about when I was growing up, and maybe I've shared it with some of you before. I wasn't don't come from a rich, wealthy background or anything like that. There was a time in my life when I was fairly impoverished as a child. My parents didn't have to pick cotton or anything that stringent, but my dad did a stint in the penitentiary when I was very young. So my mother was on welfare, and welfare just isn't a very wealthy existence when you have to depend upon the state for your meals. So there was a time when we didn't have a whole lot of money, and especially there were five kids in my family trying to live that way. One of the stories I always tell my kids was, besides waiting on the porch for my mom to get home with the commodities and having hunger pangs in my belly, was that when I was about fifth or sixth grader, we had a school program. And we couldn't afford all the designer clothes and jeans and all these things that good money can buy. All I had was a pair of tennis shoes, and they had holes in them. And that's what got me through my days. So when they had a school program and said at school, you need to wear a pair of black dress shoes to this school program. Well, I didn't have a pair of black dress shoes. And my mother just couldn't run right out and buy them. So what she did was get some kind of a dye, red or lye dye or some kind of dye. And she dyed my tennis shoes black. And those were my dress shoes. And my kids, you know, just trying to show my kids that, hey, you know, you all take for granted that dad buys you these nice shoes sometimes. It ain't always that way in everybody's life, and we shouldn't take those things for granted. You shouldn't take money for granted. There's no shame in being, you know, hard work and working hard for the things that you can obtain with money. Zacchaeus was rich. You know, and I will say that America is a very wealthy nation as a whole. Yes, there are pockets of poverty in America. And we won't go into all the reasons for this. There are a lot of different reasons for this, just like my own situation, but many other reasons as well. But overall, America is a very wealthy nation, and we can afford many things that other people in the world can't. Just turn on your TV and look at the people who are starving in different nations and people asking for money, and you'll see that. Zacchaeus was rich. Jesus had just, before this story of Zacchaeus, Jesus had just finished teaching how difficult it is for a rich man to go to heaven. Not impossible. And if you turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy 6, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In verse 17, commend those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So, you know, it's the love of money that becomes a problem with being rich. Zacchaeus evidently didn't really have this problem, and he was a wealthy man. But we need to keep in mind, and for those who are wealthy, they also need to, you know, be sure not to put their faith in their money, because who knows, one day it could be gone. Our faith belongs in God. Zacchaeus was a rich man who knew that he was in need of a savior. If we were to look back a little bit from our scripture, or the reading we just read in 1 Timothy 6 to verse 6, it says that godliness with contentment is great gain. And that's kind of the key to things. We need to learn to be content with what we have in this life. That the pursuit of things that money can buy is not necessarily what's really important. Many today fail to find Jesus because of money. More worship the almighty dollar than God Almighty. There was a song when I was a pretty young boy, and probably most of you have heard it. It says that money can't buy me love, by the Beatles. And there was a lot of truth to that song. And it certainly can't buy the love of God. But there is a problem with how much time people spend in pursuit of money in this nation. And even the church, I'm afraid it creeps into the church. And I know I had a problem with it early on. I had to make ends meet. I had mouths to feed and things like that. But you just got to be able to figure out the place where, okay, yeah, I need to work, but I shouldn't need to work all the time. I don't need some of the things. We've got to prioritize our money and where we spend it. A guy can work real hard night and day, and he might have two jobs, and he's got a big house, and he's got a big fancy car, but he ain't got no family, no family life. He loses it because of his pursuit of riches. And like I said, Zacchaeus didn't really have this problem, and we need to make sure that we don't develop that kind of a problem. Money is nice, but it's not where our priorities should lie. Position. Zacchaeus was chief among the publicans. What this means is he had a very high position. He was a tax collector. He worked for the Roman government, which is very similar to what we call the IRS. And the Roman government was fairly despised. The tax collectors were in their day, just like the IRS is here today. We don't really look forward to a call from the IRS saying, come on in, we want to talk to you. That's really not the call that we want to get. So Zacchaeus was not, he had a high position, but he wasn't highly regarded for his position. He was more feared because of his position. And he was an important man, though. Don't get me wrong. He was powerful. He had a lot of power. This would have made him somebody. He was somebody that people were respectful of and leery of in some cases, I'm sure. Especially if they thought they were doing something that was wrong or withholding. The thing about Zacchaeus was he was not as concerned about who he was as who Jesus was. Zacchaeus was able to see the importance of spiritual things. You know, there are people whose positions keep them away from the Lord. And I'm afraid that that can be our case too if we're not careful. And so the warning is for us, don't allow our position, our jobs, to become in between us and the Lord. If, you may be given an opportunity today someday to work for a company or go somewhere and take a job or position that's going to keep you from going to church on Sundays or gathering with the brethren from time to time. Is that the kind of position you really want to take? And I'm not saying, I know we have people who have jobs who have to miss occasionally on Sunday because of their jobs. I'm not saying that that's something we shouldn't do, but we need to be careful that it doesn't become a priority. Our jobs become a priority over God. So we need to be careful there. 1 Corinthians 1, 26. I didn't mark here. If you would turn with me to that. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Zacchaeus was spiritual minded. He answered the call. He understood that Christ had something that he needed and he wanted it. You might hear someone say, in my position, I can't afford to be a member of the Church of Christ. Well, mostly that's a poor attitude or an excuse to chase fleshly desires. I know people who would work 7 days a week and you know, 16, 17 hours a day to try to get ahead when they're already way ahead, and they just continue to want to get further and further ahead. And if they thought for a minute they were going to lose out on a dollar, they wouldn't do it. They'd rather work than come to church or to do something that would compromise that dollar. So you, especially you young people, as you move up, in your jobs and your positions in this life, don't outgrow Jesus. Don't get to a position where you feel that your job is more important than your service to the Lord, because it's basically selling your birthright for pottage is what it amounts to. Keep your priorities straight as you move up in your company. And you know, God blesses us. I've noticed as we move up in life, he'll reward us with opportunities and things like that. We need to be careful, you know, and selective on what our positions we take, that they don't interfere with our service to God. Another thing that was a hindrance to Zacchaeus was the crowd. Zacchaeus could not see Jesus for the crowd. He was short, and in a big crowd, he would have had trouble seeing. You know, Jesus had a crowd that followed him. Not all of them followed him for the right reasons. Some of them were there because they wanted to benefit in other ways. They wanted food, or they wanted to be healed. They didn't really care about the spiritual message. They were following him for the wrong reasons. But there was a crowd that always followed Christ where he went. At this time, there was a crowd. You know, I often think, when I think of a crowd, if you guys might remember that thing, and it's probably still a thing, where's Waldo? You know, you got all these people in the crowd, and you look through this crowd, and you see this little Waldo. Well, I can just see Zacchaeus climbing the tree and looking for, where's Christ? You know, I know he's in that crowd somewhere. I want to see him. I want to see Jesus. But, you know, the crowd is something else, too. Zacchaeus ran ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree. I want you to notice something here, that when he ran ahead, this showed several things. First of all, it showed that Zacchaeus exerted some energy by running to get ahead. It shows that he had some forethought. He had planned. He had looked ahead. He had to look ahead and see where Jesus was going and see, okay, there's a tree over there. I'm going to have to get ahead of everybody and get in that tree if I want to get a glimpse of him. It shows forethought. It shows that he was very determined. You know, personally, when I was a kid, I could climb trees. I don't think I could climb one very good today. And he wasn't going to let it stop him. So it also shows some wisdom. A certain amount of wisdom by looking ahead and climbing, finding the street to climb in. And by wisdom, I say wisdom in that, you know, Mike has given a lot of lessons and listened to them. He says that wisdom sees the end from the beginning. So Zacchaeus had enough wisdom to know that, hey, if I look ahead, if If I go up there and get in that tree, Christ coming that way, I'll get a glimpse of him. I'll get to see him. So he used a certain amount of wisdom there. So I want to talk a little bit more about the crowd. Notice that Zacchaeus was not concerned with what others thought of him as he was with seeing Jesus. You know, I'm sure people were saying, look at that guy, he's running up there climbing that tree. What's wrong with him? You know, making fun of him for that kind of thing. But many times the crowd holds us back out of being fear of being laughed at, and we compromise and go along. Now, when you're in a crowd, or you're part of a crowd, and we don't have that problem here, but maybe at school or at work, the people are trying to get you to do something that you know isn't right, and they're saying, hey, you know, come on, it won't hurt, just this one time, come along, you know, we're all going out for drinks and you can come along, or we're all of us kids, we're going to go, you know, do something that we know our parents wouldn't approve of. Come on, it's all right. Nobody will tell. You won't get in no trouble. Well, the crowd can be a hindrance to your spirituality if you listen to that and you fall into that mentality. Sometimes you got to take the high road. And that doesn't mean you're always gonna be popular. You know, there was a sign I remember seeing one time that said, what's right isn't always popular. And what's popular isn't always right. And that always stuck with me because I thought that was pretty, you know, a lot of good sense there. What's popular isn't always right, and what's right isn't always popular. There's a lot of truth in that, and it kind of touched me. Sometimes Zacchaeus, and this is what I see with Zacchaeus climbing this tree, sometimes you got to get above it all, you know? You got to get above it all. You got to be above all this stuff down here. You have to take the high road. And you know, when I say you got to take the high road isn't always paved. It's not always the easiest road. If you ever went to the mountains in Colorado, there's some high roads up there, and sometimes there's a lot of potholes. They don't get maintained very well. But once you get up there on the top of that high road and you look down and you see the valley, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful scenery. So sometimes you got to take the high road and get above the crowd. Down in the valley where the crowd is, it ain't always that pretty. There may be less oxygen up on the mountain. You might have to work harder to get up to that high place, but the payoff is worth it. Let's see here. Romans 12, 1 and 2, if you would turn there, please. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may approve what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then John 12. John 12, 42. Oops. John 12, 42 and 43. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So here, we see the Pharisees, that even though a lot of them believed in him, they wouldn't confess him because they were afraid they'd be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. What do we really want? You know, are we looking for the praise of men or the praise of God? And I believe that the crowd, in this case, you can see, was a hindrance. And Zacchaeus' example to us shows us that we should not allow the crowd to be a hindrance to us. You know, this might mean that, yeah, you got to skip that party sometimes. You don't get you miss out on things, but what are you really missing out on? That would be the question I would ask. Zacchaeus had a past. If we look to Luke 19 and 8, Zacchaeus stood and said, "Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." Zacchaeus seems to be promising restitution here. This is a sign of a changed heart. Zacchaeus desires to do the right thing, and he does it. He shows sorrow and penitence for his past actions in doing so. And I made a little note, you know, 2 Corinthians 7:10 tells us that godly sorrow leads to repentance or to change, leading to salvation. You know, many do not find Jesus today because of sin in their past. They think to themselves, you know, these things that I have done are so horrible. How can I possibly be forgiven? I'm so unworthy of this. And you know, the unworthy part, it's not all bad. I mean, we need to be humiliated and humble when we come to God. But it's the other part is that we can be forgiven. And we need to be able to express that to people. You know, the Apostle Paul had a past. And he went on to be a great apostle. It matters not what you have been. Jesus is there for the finding. You know, I joked around a little bit about where's Waldo, but as a child, if you ever went out and played hide and seek, you know, there were two parts of that game. One of them was somebody had to hide, and the other one was somebody had to seek. So sometimes we have to seek to find. And sometimes, I tell the people of the world especially, that sometimes Jesus is hiding right there in plain sight. He's right there. All you have to do is look for him. You know, it's not like he doesn't want to be found. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, so your past is something that you can allow to haunt you and eat you alive forever. It's something that you can give to Christ. There's no saint that doesn't have a past. And there's no sinner that can't have a future. Let's see if I can find the right one here. Philippians 3:13-14. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press forward to the goal for the prize of the upward call in God in Christ Jesus." And in 2 Peter Oh, I'm sorry. Acts. By him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So, it was impossible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away our sins, but Christ did. His blood took away it. Christ offers a clean slate to each individual who's obedient to him, forgetting the past is a daily occurrence. I think that even a lot of fairly sound Christians fall into this trap of looking back and remembering their past sins and dwelling on the past and living in the past. And it's a big problem because if you keep looking back, then you can't move. You don't move forward. And our goal is ahead of us. It's not behind us. So if we let our past control us, you know, and I even told people, remember Lot's wife? What happened to her when she looked back? You know it. It's just not a good way to live your life. We all have a past. We all have things behind us. But we can't dwell on those things. And Christ has died for those sins. And we need to let him have them. And we need to quit looking back. And if we know someone who's looking back, we need to encourage them. You know, don't look back. Look forward. Look forward to the goal which is in heaven with Christ. Zacchaeus had challenges. Zacchaeus had every reason to give up and quit. But he found a way against all odds, overcoming all obstacles. He diligently sought Jesus and found him. Many quit seeking Jesus because of challenges. And I put a list here. Family, financial, sin, failure, fatigue, church problems, etc. All these things can be hindrances to us. They can all be our challenges to us. You know, our families. I don't know too many Christians that don't have someone in their family that hasn't fell away. I mean, I've seen it. I've lived it. And I've seen people who were in the church and you thought were very solid for a long time, and they just up and walk away. And I don't understand that in so many levels. But then some I do, because the thing is, so many things happen. There's so much discouragement. There's so much heartache that can be there if we're not careful and we allow it. But, you know, brethren, a lot of this is on us as God's family. We need to be there for one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to support one another. Financial, not a whole lot I can say about that. We have work that we can do. The challenges of financial problems, you know, there are brethren that we can turn to for help who we know, you know, and I think with any problems, if you know someone who's got a problem, then you look to someone who you know has experience in that area, and maybe they can help you through that problem, but you have to be willing to look for a little bit of help in that area. Sin is the same way. You know, we don't all have the same temptations, but some of us do. Some of us have exactly the same temptations, and That's the ones that can help us to get through it. But we have to be willing to learn, to turn and listen to our brothers, or turn to them for help and talk to them about it. If we just keep it all in and don't share it with anybody ever, then it's just our problem, you know, and no one can help us with that. Failure's, it's a big problem for everybody. You know, not everybody is successful all the time. Even the most successful person is more than likely successful because he didn't let the failure stop him. He said, okay, yeah, I failed, but what's that old saying? If at first you don't succeed, try again. He didn't give up because of his failures. He kept working at it, or she kept working at it and trying harder and overcome that failure. And fatigue. I don't know about any of you, but I get tired of fighting Satan from day to day. Some days are much harder than others. And we get tired. You know, we get tired as Christians. We get fatigued. And we come here, if you don't come here during the week, or on Sunday or on Wednesday night, and get away and get revived by being with brethren and singing songs and praising God and being with people of like mind and faith, you're gonna be even more fatigued and have more problems. Church problems? I have never seen any. Have you? I'm being facetious here. Okay. The church has problems, you know, some more than others. And the good thing is, if you come here, we come here and we study the Bible and we make application to our lives, we become better and more faithful. And the problems seem to you know, we iron out the problems. We work on the problems. We deal with the problems. You can't just sweep problems under the carpet. Because that they don't go away, they're just there festering, getting worse, and pretty soon that pile gets so big, somebody trips over the carpet. So we can't just shy away from church problems, we have to deal with them. But we need to deal with them in the proper manner, of course. You know, we're the body of Christ. The body of Christ has blemishes. The body of Christ has some blemishes. Christ's hands had nail scars, you know. His head had scrapes and scratches from the thorns. The feet had nails, scars. Christ's body has blemishes. The thing is, brethren, we're that body. We've got some blemishes. But you know, blemishes aren't a bad thing always. You know, those scars heal. Those things can be taken care of. You can take care of those wounds, those blemishes. You can take care of them. But you can if you just sweep them under the carpet and ignore them. So if you know there's problems, we need to deal with them. And this is probably a key to a lot of these things, that we look forward, that God's blessings are greater than any of these challenges. And we got to keep our eyes on the goal. We have to look forward to our home in heaven with Christ, which ultimately is our reward. If you would, turn with me to James. James 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And 2 Peter 1, 6. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. So I think the key we need to look here is that perseverance will pay off if we persevere through the challenges that we see, that we have. They worked for Zacchaeus, and they can work for us. In conclusion, you know, I'll share something with you. I share a lot with you already, but trials, temptations, trials. There's been times when I've been tried and I feel like giving up. But you know what, brethren? I've tried everything else. There is nowhere else to turn except to the Lord. Zacchaeus found Jesus and responded. Luke 19, 69, we've already read that. We as well can triumph over hindrances with the same kind of diligence. You know, Zacchaeus, he was all set to fail. He had riches. He had a prominent position. He had a crowd to hinder him. He had a past. He had challenges. But when the call was made to Zacchaeus, the call of Christ came to Zacchaeus, he made haste. Christ told him, "Come down, for today I will stay at your house." And this important man answered that call by obeying. Won't you answer that call? Won't you obey Christ tonight? If you have the need, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.